Hello and welcome to the Granny X podcast. I'm Bill Free and I'll be your host. Here in downtown Stuttgart, Arkansas with Riceland Foods, the rice and duck capital of the world.
Well, welcome everyone. I'm Bill Free with Riceland Foods here, and I want to welcome you to the podcast. I got a special guest today and Jared Harkey, the Rice Extension Agronomist with the University of Arkansas. Welcome, Jared.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
You betcha. It's that time of the year. Everybody's busy planting rice, and especially in northeast Arkansas and southeast Missouri, all the way down to the prairie here. Just kind of fill us in. What are you hearing?
Well, so far we're in the middle of a second consecutive year. It's been a while since we had one, and now we get two back-to-back of really early starts. I guess it kind of draws some echoes of 2016, 2017 was about the last time we kind of had two years where we fired off like a shot like this. And as you said, the northeast part of the state has missed a little bit more of the rain kind of throughout this early spring. When they did catch one, it was seemed to be even a lighter amount than the central and southern parts of the state. So I'm certainly hearing a guy's completely done planting rice. Some are done planting everything already. And, you know, I was getting that, you know, we're talking, you know, beginning of April, already done with it all. There's a few out there that hadn't started. Yeah. I don't know if they're waiting on the eclipse to get by to see what was going to happen or not, but there's a few there. But hearing a lot of numbers as far as countywide out of the Northeast being greater than 50% rice planted, some might be 75% planted for some counties. There's a few that, the entire county might be, real close. Yeah. And just start kind of backing that number off as you start to move south and into the prairie. And I think there was some more opportunity for some more of the prairie to get a little further along. But I know they hit a point 50% or greater planted for some growers. And they're like, I'm stopping, getting everything cleaned up for this round of rain.
I've talked to some of them that said they wanted to get everything cleaned up. They wanted to get their levees pulled, levee gates in, get ready for the rain in case they got the big rain that was expected, which luckily so far we haven't got the big one, but I think there's some areas that had gotten 4 to 5 inches of rain.
Yeah, there's a pretty good band, and as we move toward the southeast part of the state, they've gotten even more, and they're the ones hurting the most at this point. The southeast can't miss rain this spring.
Yeah.
They're lagging way behind. But you made a good point when you mentioned the levees getting up.
Yep.
One of the best things I can say so far this spring, which is not always the case, is guys are getting the rice in, getting levees up and gates in, which is normally something I feel like I have to harp on every year. Like, you know, a field's not finished until those levees are up, you know, and we're done. And I know when we put our pre-emerge out, it's getting on the levees and we're set. And it seems like we've gotten better in that mode of not, well, we're just going to plant it all and worry about levees later. Like, no, we're getting so fields look good out there that are planted. I'm really positive on the outlook. Now, Northeast, actually, and we were talking earlier, Northeast needs a rain right now. A lot of chemical waiting to be activated, and you know, we only give so long that these residual herbicides that sitting out there without a rain are going to do us much good before they're kind of lost, before they get activated. So really, that they need to go ahead and get that rain, or we may have some messes to fight before long.
May end up having to flush a lot of rice up there.
Yes, yeah, and I sure hope not. That I always joke, you know, flush is a four-letter word to a farmer. It's that's not something we're interested in doing. And I've always been a big fan too. We start talking about like big rain events, stuff like this. I like levees up and everything, but I don't like the fields closed up and it all budded so that we can chuck more water, not blow out as many levees.
Yep.
And
yep.
We're looking good for the ground. The area that has gotten the bigger rain so far, it's draining off really well. Things really do look positive.
Well, you know, the other thing, if you look back, the river's down, so the canals and the bayous and so forth, they're down too, so it'll hold a lot more water now to drain off. Looking back to last year, here it is, April 10th. Where were we? Do you remember where we were as far as planting this time last year?
Yeah, we were in this same ballpark, believe it or not, you know, a year ago. So really close with the lot planted. We were talking, you know, our official numbers seem to be lagging a little bit behind where we're actually getting to. That same was true last year. It seemed like we were easily 30%+ planted as a state at this point a year ago. We didn't get quite the third week of March jump. Right. It was pretty soon after last year, but not quite that early that we did this year. And so it seems like we may, you know, easily, again, take into account guys ran on into Monday night and this week we're probably, it could be 45%. Yeah. I think we're ahead this year where we were last year, maybe not dramatically, but we had such a good jump last year too.
Right.
Things were started off on the right foot last year. Again, Northeast just, you know, in a blink, missed a rain that some others got, and so they got that early jump, and away we went.
All right, so on that same note, going back and looking at last year, we had high field yields, low milling yields, especially on the hybrids. Can you correlate that with some, maybe the early planting, or too much planted at too early, or too much planted at the same time, and it's set in the field waiting on harvest? What are we looking at on that?
Yeah, that was the big bulk of the whole idea when we take the opportunity to move our planting window way up, which we know anymore. We don't know when the next window will be, so we want to take advantage. But when we move everything up into an early window, there's a lot of data that says planted early and moving rice flowering and heading up to the right side of, or closer to the summer solstice, that's where our greatest yield potential comes in.
Right.
Unfortunately, then the grain maturity part wants to move all the way up into the middle of our hottest part of the year.
Yeah.
So as we're drying down, we're cooking out there.
Yeah.
That's what's going on.
Yeah.
And when we have that many acres to get across and it's dropping rapidly like that, and I'll add in the layer of this past year that through that window in that heat, we still had really high humidity.
Mm-hmm.
So to keep reaching back, the year before, we also had a really dry, pretty warm fall.
Yeah.
But we didn't have any humidity.
Yeah, I remember.
It was dry every day. Guys were starting harvest, you know, mid to late morning each day that fall. And so milling wasn't great, but it held because that re-wetting and drying wasn't happening either.
Yeah.
Well, last year in 23, it was. Every day I'd walk out and it looked like it rained overnight.
Yeah.
It was that heavy of a dew.
Yeah.
And so you're adding in that much rice that needs to go out, drying down rapidly, and then getting the re-wetting. But there's always bright spots. So some guys that had a little bit more combine capacity and or went ahead and leaned on kind of a little higher moisture side starting, those were the guys that finished before that really low moisture breakover happened, and they reported, not that every milling yield was perfect, but they weren't unhappy with theirs. They were close to the standard for their low end to better. It was really a lot more, but those were some outliers, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
But it shows what we can do even in the face of that event. So now that we're looking at this year and planting a lot really early again, it's really the emphasis going in this year of being on our toes, that as harvest comes up, that leaning to start on a little higher moisture than we prefer, and everybody goes, I don't want to pay extra drying charge. But nobody does.
Yeah.
But the payoff is the back end.
Yeah.
If I can cut the back end rice still in that, and talk folks in long grain with this comment, but in that, at worst, kind of in that 15 to 16% moisture kind of as it's getting there, I'm going to keep my milling yield up. And that potential, you know, swing from a 55 head rice down to a 45, and you start talking, you know, 20, 25 cents a bushel that could end up costing you. Certainly now that little higher drying charge on the first little bit of rice you cut doesn't seem too bad.
Right.
So we that's where we have a chance to make it up.
And I know we saw that in the hybrid varieties especially, and we all know that was part of it. Did we see any of the same thing in the conventionals?
We saw it across the board.
Right.
And one of the big drivers for that to me is maturity.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the hybrids are a little to a fair amount earlier maturing than a lot of the varieties.
Mm-hmm.
So that just leads to the point, you know, if you have a lot of hybrid acres planted when you get there and it's maturing out quicker and we're trying to get it out, that moisture is dropping on down and you know, potentially outrun us and cutting it some even lower moistures.
Yeah.
The potential is there for the varieties too. So we saw some pretty good lower numbers there as well. And I've mentioned in passing before, even from our variety trial work, because of some of that maturity difference that's out there, you know, we're cutting them all on the same day. We can't go cherry pick, you know, we plant them all around the state. I can't go back to the same spot you know, 10 times cutting plots. So you can see some of the milling yield differences there. They're not always that accurate because when you get really low moisture, well, something out there might still be at 16%, and something else might be at 12 or 13 if it dried down too much. So you get a wider range of that head rice. And most of the time, cut at similar moistures, I expect to see at most a couple of points or so of head rice yield difference. Between varieties and hybrids at most. And some of them, again, you go to picking specific varieties and hybrids, you may see virtually no difference between them. It's certainly a crapshoot there.
Something I've noticed, and I know you've picked it up too, but to throw a curveball into this planting situation and harvest and planting all of it, but our farmers are not only planting a whole bunch of rice early, but they're planting a whole bunch of beans early too.
That's right. And we still have more corn than I thought we'd have this year.
And so, as you and I have talked, you can plant a whole lot more than you can cut on all of the commodities right now. Where do you think that is throwing a kink or throwing another wrench into this problem of low millers?
It absolutely is. As we move through the different maturities of beans and what's getting ready when, guys are having to make choices on what they go after. And it's easy to say, well, we're going to keep getting the rice out until you see beans starting to pop. And then you have to jump out of rice to go after those beans because we don't have vacuums on these combines. We're not picking them up out of the dirt if we end up with beans on the ground. So that plays a role. I don't think I saw it play as big a role last year as I thought it might with that. But I can say that, way led on to way of multiple issues of rice getting too dry and finishing that up and then moving into beans that instead of being 12 to 13% moisture where we want them, we were cutting a bunch of 9 to 10% moisture beans. Well, you left 2-plus bushel worth of yield in moisture in the field on beans. And so we're just, we're stacking some things up.
Combine salesman, ought to use that as a sales.
That's it. Right. Find another gear and a bigger header.
There you go. With all that being said, this has really caused a problem in the mills. Trying to mill and get a good quality rice out of this low milling crop that we had. It's throwing kinks and roadblocks and everything else at us here at Riceland and I'm sure at all the other rice mills too.
Yes, absolutely.
This problem just continues on down the road until you get to the next crop, and hopefully we'll have something much better in this crop. But got a long ways to go, but we're starting out almost the same way we did last year.
We are. I'm just hoping for more of a, kind of late July into August, a little bit milder turn, a little bit than we had last year. Because, again, if we can just, we had a few blips of high nighttime temperatures that, again, can add some wrinkles to our milling, but our chalk numbers were still what I describe as low to moderate, which is usually a pretty good indicator that high nighttime temperature didn't get out of control or we'd have seen more of a spike compared to the previous year. We know we had some blips, probably affected little rice, and it can impact milling a little. Usually has to get pretty bad before it's a noticeable direct milling. I mean, we don't want to see too much chalk, but the milling part. If we can just get that to mild off a little bit so the crop just, the maturity kind of smooths out a little bit more instead of so rapid from the heat, I mean, that alone will go a long way. And with in the past several years, we've seen some pretty mild summers. Now, those were usually following some pretty wet springs. So it would be a definite turn to different to have a warmer, really good early planting window and followed by a milder summer. We haven't seen kind of that combination, but the only thing I tell everybody is every year, just expect something different than what it was the year before. We'll see what this one brings. I don't know what normal or average is or whatever. It's going to be different.
Yeah. What are you hearing on seed availability and seed for rice?
What seed?
Yeah.
that's what I'm hearing is what seed. So essentially, pick a given type or from who.
Yeah.
you know, Rice Tech Seed sold out, you know, has been. There are a few items out there that, yeah, there may be a little bit of supply, but your overall, you know, long grain option, that, you know, those are gone from Horizon Ag, your Clearfield varieties there, your main ones, those are all sold out. Even on the public variety side, there may be a little Ozark left, but it's essentially been gone for a while. And even on the little bit of medium grain, I think that we're going to grow, you know, that's out of there. There may still be a little bit from the Dyna-Gro Nutrien side of 263, but again, it's all pretty much exhausted.
Yeah. And that's all spoken for.
It's all been spoken for. In some of these cases, I mean, essentially gone as of 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
On the majority of them. So there's a few more questions popping up now about some of the medium grains, about some potential like aromatic opportunity. Again, guys looking for ways to grow some more rice of different types. So we're headed for not, speaking of seed, since we're on the topic, I'll veer toward the acreage topic from here. We really thought the number could get really big for total acreage this year, primarily on the backbone of long grain increasing rapidly, but the seed situation definitely put even more of a lid on it than what I thought.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to keep us capped at maybe 1.6 million total acres for our top end, and the more it came to fully realize, more like 1.5 million is probably the top end. If we break through that, I believe it will be because there ends up being some more medium grain planted than expected because guys couldn't get all the long grain and they start filling in some gaps, which I hope we don't get too far with that because
you got a lot of medium grain left over.
Yes. Yeah, the whole industry. Yeah, the whole industry does on the medium grain side. So, you know, when the prospective plantings came out, and maybe I'm slightly misremembering the number, but it may have been as high as 90,000 medium grain as a part of that. I was thinking we could end up as low as 60 to 75,000 on medium. That 90 could end up happening now, again, with the long grain seed situation. So I feel a little bit more comfortable with kind of how all that shook out. But not that this makes anybody feel better that's not getting to plant all the rice they wanted to.
Right.
But I've been harping on, if we can take one good thing from it, it's that it will keep us hopefully from doing something, and I've been putting it very bluntly, from doing something stupid like 2010 and ramping up to something, knocking on 1.8 million and blowing everything out. We don't need that.
No, not with the prices of corn and beans the way they're looking.
No, we don't need to torpedo this one.
Yeah,
no,
that's for sure. Well, what do you think as we try to finish up here? We've got off to a pretty darn good start from the Prairie, or I guess you'd almost say the Arkansas River North.
Yeah.
And we're looking into the next few months here. What's your crystal ball saying?
Well, my crystal ball is already amazed at the fact that within the first few days of April, we already have rice emerged in northeast Arkansas.
That was going to be another question. I was curious of what the emergence was.
Not much, but it's now picking up.
It's been cool enough up there that it's held it in the ground for a little bit longer.
Yeah, but it's coming on, so that's going to start taking off. And again, the rains we mentioned that kind of need to happen in northeast, that will actually... hopefully quickly that hits, and that will really de facto flush, and boom, we'll have a ton of rice up. My crystal ball right now, because of that, and us commenting the beans and the corn and the everything in, is, you know, the fun has only just begun. We better get some of these pre-emergence herbicides activated and quickly and effective, because all of our post-emergence applications are going to get harder with rice coming out of the ground, corn coming out of the ground, and beans coming out of the ground. These applications are getting harder. And echo back to last year, we ended up with about, from around the end of April through till about the beginning of June, we had about 6 weeks of a northeast wind. We've just never seen anything like that before.
Hard wind, too.
Hard wind and a dry wind. Yeah. And so we couldn't hardly get herbicide applications out, and the ones we did didn't work as well as expected because weeds were... Again, they were struggling in a dry wind, kind of desiccated and weren't. And so we had a lot of, and our looks at off-target movement as a result of that, we're way up last year. So please, everybody, please help me, help you, help everybody on being wary and working with your applicators on what's reasonable to kind of attack and do the best we can. But again, the outlook for April, you know, has been a wet one.
Yeah.
And we're in the middle part of that now. There's more forecast for next week. Not near the amounts,
right,
but it's there.
Yeah.
So we may end up with a little bit more prolonged break here in planting than what some were probably hoping for.
And it may not be a bad thing.
I say it's not.
Yeah,
you know, guys may not have wanted 2 weeks, mm-hmm, but if you truly want separation in a rice crop, that stuff planted 2 weeks from now will come up fast enough that that'll only end up being a 1 week gap.
Yeah.
In maturity. So it really takes about 2 weeks this time. As you start getting to May and stuff, you know, anytime in there, I mean, it's pretty dependable. If I'm planting May 1, May 15, they're spread about the same because they all come up the same speed and all that. But when we're this early, that little bigger gap will hopefully work for us. Again, on the back end, there's still some debate. Again, I mentioned whether we get a cooler or something different. There's still debate, and I need to re-update myself yet again, but on the... just going to spin, you know, La Nina, El Nino effect. We're still arguing what's going to set in from here, and that's certainly going to drive the summer. But that's my lookouts at this point is early, really worried about the weed control and managing the crop compared to what we've got surrounding. Mm-hmm. But we're going to turn warm, it looks like, very quickly. We're looking at on into the 80s next week. Be prepared for early part of May. It's going to shock some people. Early part of May, we may be staring at five-leaf rice needs to go to flood in the early part of May. This could turn real fast, and we could get behind very fast. So that's my other comment to having a little bit of break right now in our planting windows. We focused on the harvest part of getting the, you know, that many acres out. But from an overall production, yield, and management standpoint, I can't take all my acres to flood on the same day. And so there's that staging out. So if you do have a lot of rice acres in the ground, we've drifted away from fertilizing and flooding on some smaller rice kind of near the four-leaf stage. Guys are dragging it out, and there's often not anything wrong with that, but there's not there seems to be a perception that's grown in some recent years that there's some penalty to kind of going a little on the other side, and there's not. We even, one of our folks threw in a study last year, it happened to be a variety he just was playing with, but he literally, at like the 4 to 5 leaf stage, he had some different bays and literally dunked some of that rice, just flooded it over the top of it and kept it that way till it grew out of it. Now, doing that, there was a little bit of a yield drag, yes, but I mean, he submerged it and kept it that way on purpose. So that was an extreme that, okay, there's a little bit of yield drag. If you put it under and leave it there, well, nobody's talking about doing that, you know, commercially. So pushing those first acres a little on the early side so that you get to the end of your acres when they're kind of still in our window of still being able to get optimum yield out of fertilizing and getting to flood and driving that yield potential. That's going to be a huge one as we jump into May because it's going to sneak up on folks. So. That's my opportunity to plug using the DD50 program, getting your emergence dates in, and getting those text or email reminders that those dates are sneaking up on you, especially if it trends warmer here. It's gonna outrun. Those are the years I find the best utility for that program is when things start moving faster than what we really think it's moving. And to keep us on top of it.
I understand. Well, finishing up, I'll get a little more closer to your heart there. What about your test plots? How are they looking?
Looking very good. We had a really good opportunity. We've already gotten a few planting date studies in. They're around the 20th of March. You know, got the first ones in, both at Stuttgart and Harrisburg, and planted another round at each of those last week, the first few days of April. And then, obviously, because Northeast Arkansas has been drier and more wide open, we've already gotten a bunch of on-farm trials scattered around Jackson, Clay County, Greene County, stuff like that. So we've got a pretty good jump into everything around. Still got a long way to go. We've got a lot of plots, but a really good look at all throughout the Northeast, matching up with the planting date. We still have a couple held back for good reason to catch, you know, next window to represent that turn as well, and we'll scatter them through more through the Central and Southeast as we can get some more weather opportunity there. But yeah, I think we're off to a really good start, and hopefully get some good data this year too. Yeah.
Good deal. Well, Jared, I appreciate you taking out time for us this morning, and I know you're busy, and I'll let you get back at it, and hope to hear from you again maybe later in the season or as we get into harvest this year.
Yes, sir. We're always happy to help.
You bet. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Bill.
Uh-huh.
Thank you for joining us for today's show of the Grainiacs. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our channel and be sure and follow us on social media. For more information about the Grainiacs, Riceland Foods, or just rice in general, visit us at riceland.com or riceland.coop. Thanks again, and we look forward to having you listen in on our next podcast.